Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, words come and go in our language to the annoyance of some and the indifference of others, but the lexicographer and Countdown star Susie Dent feels there are many words we should resurrect, specifically the more positive ones. And she joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Susie.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why do you want to do this? Don't we have enough words as it is?
We never have enough words, I would say. Well, this all came from the Cheltenham Literature Festival, actually, where I was talking to an audience about, language, as you say, how it evolves, but how it tends to evolve in one direction only, which is from positive to negative, almost always. And it's always done this. So if you look at dialect, for example, and local regional language, you know, we love to gossip about things that are ugly, or being hungry, or being cold, or being pigeon-toed, having blisters, you name it. These are the things that we tend to specialize in. And the discovery I made, it must have been about a decade ago now, just while looking through the dictionary, was that we talk about unkempt and uncouth and disgruntled and underwhelmed, etc., but without realizing that quite often the positive counterpart to those words actually did exist centuries ago, but they've just got lost. And so we call the today's negative ones the orphaned negatives, because they've kind of lost their parents along the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are many, many examples of this, feckless being one. What's the positive? Yes. Is it that just full of feck, or how does
it's
that
full
work?
Of feck.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's full of feck. Yeah. So if you're feckful, then you're powerful, you're vigorous, you're effective, and likewise you can be full of wreck as well. As well as reckless.
So does that mean feck by itself is a word outside of the meaning you'd have from it from Father Ted? It means actually something else.
Oh yes, it means something very different to Father Ted. Yeah, it meant absolutely sort of power, the ability to do something, but that faded away and survives only in that kind of fossil, I suppose, of being feckless. So, yes, not a kind of euphemistic swear word at all, something very, very different. And likewise, you could be couth if you were polite and agreeable. In fact, I think you can still be couthy if you're in Scotland. If you were ruly, you would stick to the rules. You could be, in Ireland, you use the word gormless a lot because we use it a lot. Yeah, okay. So I was so delighted to find that gorm, spelled slightly differently, it was G-A-U-M, but it comes from a Viking word, and it means to take heed, and to be gorm-like was to have an intelligent look about you, which is brilliant. So you could be full of gorm as well as gormless.
Right. Okay. Are there some words, though, where the kind of, if you put a dis or some, you know, on the front of it, it still means the same thing, the same as like flammable and inflammable?
Oh, yes, that's always just the real head scratcher, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, disgruntled actually was, the dis there was not a negative. It was simply an intensifier. So gruntled originally always meant dissatisfied. It also meant grunting like a pig, but that's a kind of separate issue. And so the dis came along to mean really dissatisfied, but it was P.G. Wodehouse who introduced the possibility of being gruntled. There's a lovely line in one of his books. It says, Jeeves spoke with a certain what is it in his voice, and I could see that if not actually disgruntled, he was far from being gruntled, which I think is great. And likewise, you can't really be shoveled, unfortunately, at least not yet, because disheveled simply comes from the French déchevelé, meaning your hair's all over the place.
Okay, but it could quite easily become a word, though, if we just use it enough.
Well, exactly. And there was a fantastic, I always mention this, actually, it was a fantastic piece in The New Yorker many years ago called How I Met My Wife. And the author, Jack Winter, just created this absolute tour de force of missing opposites. And it is the description of, you know, him meeting this woman at a party. But he talks about her being a descript person in a state of total array. And he was traveling cognito, and his appearance was maculate. And he was a persona grata and sung hero. It's just brilliant. It's wonderful. And yes, it's just possible that these could be, you know, if we go around saying that we're shoveled, it might well happen.
Yeah, I would imagine, though, probably the more effective way of doing it is somehow making these words popular online.
Yeah, I mean, social media is a key place for them to take off. And I mean, I'm not, I think some people have reported this as being a campaign that I'm launching. It's nothing that official. I've long been on a mission to bring these back, I have to say. But I do think after the few years that we've had, understandably, we, you know, we're bound to be dwelling on the negative. That's just inevitable. But it would be so lovely to bring some of the sparkles back and, you know, and introduce some of these words and be kempt. Kempt means... you know, well, it actually comes from the German gekempt, meaning well combed. So wouldn't it be lovely to wake up and feel kempt for once?
Wouldn't it be nice? Has anyone counted? Are there within common usage, are there more negative words than positive words in the English language?
That's such a good question, Sean. My guess would be probably simply because I think, as I say, we do like to talk about the sort of negative things. I mean, we are a nation of gossipers. We have hundreds of words for gossip itself, actually. So I'd like to think that. And I'd like to think that, I wouldn't like to think that. I'd like to think that the positives that's still there hiding in the corner of the dictionary and somehow have slipped away could be brought back. But whether over the centuries negative has always tipped the balance, that would be a fantastic project, a long project, but it would be a wonderful one. But, you know, some people are making real efforts to be playful and joyful with language as well. And there's an airport in Milwaukee, the General Mitchell International Airport it's called, and they have put up signs where they invite people into their recombobulation lounge, where you can recombobulate and you know, just enjoy a moment of calm after or before your flight. And I love that. So I think let's just be playful and let's introduce some of these terms.
Because I suppose there's some words where it would the meaning of it would be obvious as being the opposite of the you know, if you say corrigible, people go, what's that? Oh yeah, that's the opposite of incorrigible.
Yeah, that was around too. So yes, absolutely.
Invincible, does vincible mean something?
Yes, it means that you can vanquish them. So invincible actually is a bit of a negative. So I suppose invincible is the positive side of that, and that you can't be vanquished and you can't be overcome. There are lots. And as you say, I mean, if somebody said they were going around cognito, I think you would absolutely know what they meant, which is a lovely one. But, you know, you could be pecunious, you could be gainly, you could be wieldy, you could be toward as well as untoward. Goodness, just so many of them. There are a handful of words where the positive never existed, but there are so many where the positive was there. Ept is another one. You could be ept and you could be flappable too.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's better to be flappable. All of us are actually flappable.
I'm definitely flappable a lot of the time. Yeah.
Susie, lovely to talk with you again. That was Susie Dent there, lexicographer, etymologist and star of Countdown.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.